Я тут есть приглашен Мэйкен на тот конкурент, который Лерандров не урезал from Exxon, я наш следующий, just a couple of minutes ago. Well, let me thank once again organizers. This is absolutely fantastic conference, and I hope that the conclusion at the end will be as many as possible. So if we decide to have a symposium, I really want to see you guys in Sydney. It's a beautiful place, you know, to have a great symposium. Anyway, I also thank you a number of my collaborators, which collectively these steps of the past 25 years, and helping along the my typical slides. So my favorite slide is number two slide, for a simple reason, but I would like to remind you how difficult was our job just 1,000 years ago. 1054, 23rd of June, you really don't want, you know, to be a researcher supernova remnants at that time. I'm sure that most of you know that in Europe there was a very little documentation about this supernova happened at that time, and a number of people believed that it could be, you know, due to east-west schism, you know, which happened, you know, about the same time, same day. So why I'm showing this, not just, you know, to scare you, you know, that our job may be very difficult in the years to come. This particular group was brave enough, the name is Constantino Bonamacco. He was brave enough, you know, in a very strange way, perhaps, you know, to show that this SNR actually, you know, happened. There are only 20 coins that he produced in this period of his life, which is basically showing two stars. And we know that the Venus and supernova 1054 were, you know, in between the sun. So it's very interesting and smart way. So I'm not 100% sure that this is evidence, you know, that there is a European cycles of 1054. But at least, you know, it's a very smart way, you know, how astronomers are really smart. On the other side of the world, indigenous Australians put the first pictures of Magellanic clouds. This is absolutely beautiful. And since then, we significantly improved our view of our immediate neighbor. A large cloud, this is a picture of Tony Wong put together. RGB is hydrogen, H1, H alpha, and something else today. SNC, more or less similar. So you can see, you know, how beautiful is this, you know, for our world supernova remnants. Now, once upon a time, just, you know, a few years ago, a couple of decades ago, we were a very powerful astronomers in Australia, and what you can see is a large Magellanic cloud, bigger than a banknote, a $50 banknote, but together with a Parkes telescope. As of a few days ago, we are very uncertain about the future of Parkes radio telescope and a number of other radio facilities in Australia. Now, this is the new $50 note, so things have really changed, you know, in the past few decades as far as astronomers are concerned. Now, Jana already introduced the first extragalactic plane, extragalactic supernova plane happening in 64 by, at that time, Jan Thor Matheson, as a PhD student, absolutely fantastic work, you know, with a Parkes radio telescope in the first survey of the large Magellanic cloud. And in 60 seconds, if you allow me, my top 11 most exciting extragalactic SNRs, you know, that it's happened over the history, I really like, you know, the point in the 60s, passing the orbitals, you know, work in optical, N31 at that time, before the PhD. No, John, is this before the PhD or during the PhD that you published this paper in 68? Okay, thank you. So, you know, I did, you know, original work in N31. And then, you know, in the 80s, when the music was good, I hope you remember these days, along came the Gabelski first X-ray couple based on Einstein surveys. Of course, you know, blessed today, 7A, Yuhua, sure, okay, but 1988, you know, start talking about the environment, how environments are important for extragalactic supernova remnants research. John, again, you know, in early 90s in Dhaka, observed the first magnetic fields and polarization of a number of supernova remnants. And then, you know, one of my favorites, Borkowski's in 2006, the, you know, announcement of the possible prompt Tychon A's. And a number of other things that you'll see today, which I'm going to, you know, talk over the next 10-15 minutes. So, Jana already introduced why and how we can discriminate, what are the basic principles of discrimination of supernova elements from other objects. As you know, the galactic is quite more difficult. It's not around the corner, but distances are well known, at least we think it's well known. And there are a number of things, you know, that we are applying to basically every object that we can. But sometimes, you know, it's successful, sometimes not as successful. So one of my the first slides, which I would really like to point, is Hess detection of a couple of objects in Large Hadron Collider. Patrick will talk later this week about 30 grams C, a big, huge super bubble, and possible interactions with SNRs. There's a couple of SNRs that we think maybe nearby. Very interesting work in this respect. CPA characters operate. This is the future of high energy gamma rays. There is a prediction that very soon 987A is going to be very, very bright there. And there is a once again prediction that we're going to detect it with the CPA in a few years to come. Well, this is a slide I shouldn't show you. A couple of weeks ago, my students working on a 30 grams region very excellently discovered a circle of polarization in the direction of 30 grams. What it means? What is deep, guys? The reason why you're not reading this in the front page of the Nature is simply that I'm not 100% sure that this is it. It's basic indication of the pulsar, or you know, I don't know, quark star, or you know, some you know, exotic physics, you know, happening there. But it's very significant. It's only happened over the last year or two. So we hope this please don't take a picture of that. Thank you. So I'm not 100% sure that I will delete this slide, but I couldn't, you know, resist not to show you this slide. So we'll see that there's a you know really strong circle of polarized source in that direction. Again, the 987A, this is a very recent work by John Cunningham showing a very nice state spectrum of 987A with NWA data on the left hand side, my left hand side, your left hand side, at the top end of this graph. 0.74, which is one of the steepest spectrum that we know of. Just to show you that this is, you know, really thing that the steep spectral index, steep gradient spectral index is very important. And you know, putting a G1.9, it's also a very steep spectrum once when you include NWA data. So one of the favorite sources, you know, the favorite supernova remnants in external galaxies, 4509. There's quite a lot of things, you know, to learn in this source. I recently revised the age to about 310 years and could be even younger. We found a lot of interesting things in the radio, a very strong polarization, very strong field, very strong magnetic field, the spectral index, you know, very steep, typical young SNR. But more interestingly is we found X-ray expansion. So about a few months ago, Javier, and I think you know, he's going to talk about you know, his discovery of HST expansion in a period of 1 year of about 6,000 kilometers. I didn't want to do that. Which 6,500 kilometers per second. We compared between 2000 and 2007 Chandra images and found up to 12,000 kilometers per second, which is huge. What's the implication? It looks like the ejecta, not to reverse shock in X-ray, especially faster than photo shock. Absolutely impossible. Right, yes, I agree. So what's the problem? The problem is maybe the error. So hopefully the new Chandra observations will show us you know, if this is the right or not. Anyway, just to put that in perspective, this particular supernova remnant, you know, looked at the environment where there is nothing really dense in CO, the Mokra, and there is absolutely nothing specifically exciting in H1 as well. So it's really expanding in a quite nice environment. Now, this is a graph that I could sort of put together. I just added a couple of points for 4509. And what you can see is, you know, he's arguing that maybe some difference between type 1A and 4 plus young SNRs. Again, you know, we really need to be careful about the error bars to be here quite extensive, quite large. More objects, more strange objects, you know, that you will find in the Magellanic Cloud, faster nebulas, various types of mixed morphology, supernova elements, very important their environments, looking into that. One of my favorites is VEXA binary, a small Magellanic Cloud. You found a couple of others. One is in our think there are designs that Sandra and Marco, a high mass X-ray binary, the gamma-ray binary as well, which is quite also interesting as well. More of SNRs from time, where you can see a sort of a mixed morphology, X-rays, optical and radio, completely different emission. So it's quite a lot of, you know, varieties today. Pulsar nebulas, there's about half a dozen pulsar nebulas in small and large cloud, which is not too bad at all. This is the distribution of the large Magellanic clouds, supernova remnants, and maybe there's indication, you know, they really call the spiral, H1 spiral structure today. You've seen in a previous talk, Jan showed the number of galaxies. So let me update you with a few galaxies and some of the latest radio data that we just processed over the last few days. So in LHC, we have almost complete sample, and there is an obvious discrepancy that is coming from the from optical. We basically do not have a single optical remnant in the LHC. In M31, as you've seen in the previous talk here, it's a completely different story. And other galaxies, including M31, is a quite huge bias, you know, for the optical. That was a great discussion in the previous talk, so I don't want to spend too much time, you know, about that. It's about the completeness of the sample, not more than that. So as far as the dynamical distribution, I think it's safe to say, you know, that in the LHC is about, you know, 35 to 40 parsecs in size. Of course, you know, there is a quite large spread there. But this is, you know, what we see in a sample, which is a very close to being a complete sample. We talked about previously about a cumulative number dynamical relationship. That's basically, you know, for the radio is more or less the same, so I don't see the field expansion, you know, here as well. As far as the other things, again, I don't see, you know, that at all, so it's pretty much, you know, not you know, the whole sample of the LCS and that's nothing really, you know, you can see there. As far as the spectral index, again, canonical 0.5 is roughly there, with a spread of a pulsar nebulas in this region here as well. Further from there, this is one of my favorite slides, is we can see the age derived from the X-rays versus spectral index. You can see that maybe there is some evolution. This is 1978, the various stages over the last couple of decades. So maybe there is some relationship with the complete sample of Magellanic clouds and our own galaxy. If you look into the age versus diameter, well, you know, this is where the 1987 A's. This is the sample that we have, the latest sample of SNC and LHC. So it's not much, you know, there, but if you look, you know, when we include known young galactic astronauts, maybe it's information. And I didn't cheat, as you see, you know, it's pretty exactly the same thing there. As far as the expression goes, this, again, you know, I don't know, you know, how much we can, you know, drive from there, but, you know, looks like 1987 is very much on the line of what we expect. This is the latest derivation from our luminosity, you know, function. Again, at about 55 millijoules, you know, quite complete there. More about the equipartition evolution models, it's a quite interesting, you know, type 1A, which we think, you know, maybe, you know, a bit lower than the rest of the sample, but it's too early days, you know, to conclude that this is the case. One of the big things that we've been talking over the past, I don't know how many years, was about the sigma D distribution. This is, you know, the latest about the LHC, and if I show the SNC, again, you know, you will see a top number of points, you know, there, it's not much, you control the line there. If I put them together, maybe there is some trend, but if I show this graph, you know, I think you might convince you that maybe it's a quite good idea not to leave an LHC pool up to 120. So, from there, this is, you know, just a preview of the talk that Pierre is going to talk about the type 1As out of the last a few years. It's just absolutely beautiful. Just to look, you know, at their ages, you know, how nicely they're spread. I think, you know, we have fantastic potential work in this area. Core collapses are very interesting. This is the one which I showed, you know, which I mentioned earlier, which may have a gamma ray source as well. There. And future work, well, there's quite a lot in front of us. We're getting the next generation of radio telescopes. CPA is around the corner as well. So it's going to be quite a lot of interesting things which will happen. So, we're all different, I'm sure that you will notice, you know, there's a lot of different supernova remnants, and we need to accept that. So, all we need to do is to listen. Radio astronomy is the way to go. So, thanks.
this side.
Is there any estimate of the incompleteness due to Supernovae going off in some levels?
In the Odyssey sample? No, incompleteness is, in the Odyssey sample, it's only due to a coverage, X-ray coverage, it's not complete coverage. But as far as the super bubbles, I don't think we have a problem with that in the Odyssey. I think our sampling velocity is as close as one can get at this stage.
A detection of gravitational pieces from a nova 1967A is very interesting. So I'd like to ask people details about that. So first question is, what is the source of the continuum at that frequency and how does it polarize?
First of all, I believe there will be a number of talks later this week about 1967A, the way how it's expanding. Once again, very excellently we discovered the circle of polarization. Okay, I can put both of my hands and stuff, you know, it's there. But again, it's very strange. And it's only happened over the last 12 months. So in the previous images, you didn't see the circle polarization. That's all I can say. What is the source? Usually, you know, people will jump immediately and say it's a pulsar. The other options, you know, some exotic plasma physics in the shell of the SMR. I don't know.
Thank you.
You mentioned you had this about 300 years for the age of Orion 9.
Say again? Yes.
300 years?
Yes.
We know from the lighting of the X-ray spectrum that supernova Orion 9 is a very nickel-rich type of supernova.
Yeah.
And this is the LC, a big of the optical light curve. That is magnitude minus 1. You can't miss it.
Yes. And so it's 200 and what is the K? K4 and where is the build? 1810. So it's going to be a very bright. So at least, you know, the lower limit will be 150 for 60 years.
Well, at least it's a naked eye event in the south. I would be very surprised if around year 700 no one can understand.
Well, I'll give you another example. Bill Jordan. Okay, it's not that young, but it's also, there's not any records. Alright, yeah, I know some people claim it's 4,000. It's between 600 and 4,000 years old.
Yeah, this is not 4,000 years ago, this is 70.
Yeah.
There are a number of European solvers that burn population around this in some years. I'm pretty sure so.
So I think with 400 years, this is the 310, I think between 250 based on the expansion. So I think, you know, I'm very, way too optimistic with X-ray expansion. But if you accept the Hubble's expansion of 6,500 kilometers, that will drive it to about 3-10. And I think that's his conclusion from his very recent data.
Before we do have another question, just in time.
So, this question of whether we have seen the supernova in the LMC. We kind of punted on that, but the dynamics of the remnant really require a range that does middle out at about 310 years. Maybe there's a volcano eruption. Maybe. It's far too hard to look at.
An excellent opportunity to discover that record. Make a big splash.
Somebody's going to be holding the archives. Okay, thanks, thank you, Sam, again, and we'll move on to the next video.